All right, Chief, I just want to confirm that you are online.
Chase is here.
Thank you. Do we have Marshall? All right, and I heard from Nick about 30 minutes ago. He's going to be about 10 minutes late joining virtually. So we do have quorum of 5 members.
All right. Let's move forward. All right, call a meeting to order. I'd like to welcome you to the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board meeting of April 18th, 2025 at 9 a.m. At this address, that's 1740 West Adams Street, Boardroom C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. I'd like to start the meeting by having you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. All right, now we'll do our, I guess I do this again. All right, it's now 9:04, looks like, a.m. on April the 18th in Boardroom C at 1740 West Adams Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Let's do a roll call now.
Okay, for board members present, we have Sherry Begley.
Here.
Trustee Manny Glover.
Here.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Here.
Brandon McFadden.
Present.
Chief Turpin.
Present.
For board staff members, we have Frank McGally.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Jillian Stevens.
Present.
Myself, Jessica Carambo. Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Jessica Wilson.
Present.
For investigative, we have Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
Alexandra Hill.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Christine McDaniel.
Here.
Polly Dinkins.
Present.
Elise Salvador.
Present.
Outside, we have Susan Nielsen. For legal counsel, we have Susan Alvin.
Here.
Perfect. Thank you all for being a part of this. I would like to let you know the board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters pursuant to ARS 38431.03A1 or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3. First item of business is discussing consideration and possible action on approval of the confidential executive session minutes for the February 18, 2025 meeting.
Tracy, you have the hard copy here. Because
working your way?
Yep. Working in the right that way.
Right. Having reviewed those, do we have a motion regarding those minutes?
Chief Glover moved that we approve the minutes for the executive session for February 18, 2025.
McFadden, second it.
The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, based on that unanimously, we accept those minutes. Next item is discussion, consideration, possible action, approval of the regular board minutes from the March 21st, 2025. Board meeting, which are in your packet. Are there any questions or a motion regarding those minutes?
Just a quick question. Since I wasn't at that meeting, I can't vote on this one, right?
But okay. Even if you abstain, we can still vote.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you for that. So do we have a motion regarding the minutes from the March 21st meeting?
I mean, that we accept the March 21st.
Okay. Please second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Are you opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. Now we're up to conflicts of interest. Does any board member have a conflict of interest in any case today? Hearing no response, I assume we have no conflicts of interest. We're just so easy to get along. Welcome to Visiting Barber and Cosmetology Student Instructors, and we are fortunate to have many today. So if you'd like to volunteer to say where you're from.
From Cali.
All right, good school.
Good morning, I'm Sally from Drain Lakeview.
Great, nice to see you guys, good school too.
Terry Maker with Gateway Community College, we have our students and half our college students.
Wow. Nice to see you all. It's good representation, we really appreciate your support. We think it's important for the students to understand how the board works and to realize we're not really ogres that chase you around throughout your entire career. We're actually here to help you, working on the same thing, going to the same place, and we're a resource for you. And we do really appreciate the schools as the board because we have to have that. It's all there is to. So thank you all for attending. And now we're up to the executive director report, which is my favorite part of every single meeting, if I'm to do anything. So, Mr. McGowan.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm glad it's somebody's favorite part of the meeting. Good morning. This is gonna sound funny, but I actually counted this up the other day. This was my 34th board meeting since I started with the organization 3 years ago. And it has been a great 3 years, and we continue to make significant progress, which some of which I'll be able to share with everybody this morning. As a friendly reminder to both our board members and those students and schools that we have in the room this morning, our mission is to protect the public's health and safety. Our agency will license qualified school establishments and individuals and ensure compliance with state statutes and regulation. And our vision is to provide quality and timely service for world-class customer care. As always, I will start with our good news and announcement. We continue to make progress on our sunset audit through the Arizona Attorney General's Office and their contracted audit partner. We believe that we are wrapping up at this point. I think it's fair to say we're wrapping up the bulk of that work. And they are now going into their report writing phase. So it will be, well, frankly, I think Kelly in particular is hoping it will be a quiet couple of months while that report is drafted. We have some sense of number of items that we're going to need to work on, but we're not at the point yet where that information can be shared with the board simply because there's a lengthy review process between the contracted audit partners with, and then all the way up to the actual auditor general does a review of the documents. And so there might be something that we could say today that doesn't end up in the report. So we don't actually want to project yet. There are a number of things that we do know, have already started taking steps on, have some problem solving meetings in the coming weeks on trying to work on doing some of those things so that at least come a year from now when we have to report out our first round of follow-up, we'll be able to say we've made, 50% progress on recommendations made throughout that. I can pretty firmly say we don't have any large systemic issues. We have lots of little things that we need to work on. And so very excited to be getting through that process and very excited to continue to make progress as an organization on those items. I did want to announce that we are going to change the October board meeting, which is 6 months from now. We do need to shift that to October 24th, 2025, because the NIC conference, which Arizona is hosting, landed on October 17th to the 20th, which was the original date of the board meeting. And unfortunately, because we didn't really get a say in the date. I was trying to figure out if we could still find a way to have the board meeting that Friday, and then the interested board members scoot over to the conference, and it wasn't going to work out with the way the schedule was gonna flow. So we have shifted that, as I mentioned, to October 24th, and I updated that final slide that I know a bunch of board members like to have at their fingertips for the next 6 months of meeting. I am very, very, very excited to share that we are officially fully staffed. As of March 31st, we officially became fully staffed. And that's when we welcomed Cosme Ulysses as a licensed barber to join our compliance team as an investigator. So we are very excited to have him join the team. I do believe I announced him last month, but he's officially started and he is here for his first board meeting to see what fun this can be. I'm also very excited to share that our new communications administrator, Jillian Seaman, has started. She started just this last Monday. She will be replacing Isabella when Isabella has her baby toward the end of May. So we were very fortunate to be in a situation where we could dual fill the position and have a transition period over the next, well, depending on when Isabella has the baby, could be 4 to 6 weeks. And so we're very excited to welcome Jillian. Jillian comes to us from another state agency where she served as a public information officer in the Division of Employment Rehabilitative Services. So she has lengthy state government experience in a public information role. Next up is our financial update. For the month of March, we had $78,381 in revenue and $249,000 in expenses. Our board fund balance was $5 million at the beginning of the fiscal year, and at the end of March, we were at $4,560,000. Again, this was expected because this is our low year for renewal, so we're not seeing anything out of the ordinary at this point. And it actually fully explains why we operate out of a board fund and not based on an individual year appropriation. So we continue to march and make progress on that. Next up, our theory exam testing data. You will see that in the month of March, we had 524 candidates test, of which 328 passed their theory exam, or 63% passing rate. For our written practical examinations, we had 490 candidates exam, of which 374 passed, or a 76% passing rate. In your packet, you do have a copy of this presentation that breaks down, that you can see the actual breakdown of the data by testing type. For our scheduled examinations, we saw a huge uptick, which makes sense with school graduations occurring over the next 6 weeks. We saw a huge uptick in the number of scheduled candidates. So we, from April 1st through July 29th, we have 754 candidates scheduled to take a test, 357 of which are written practical. 8 Cosmo, 2 Barber, 1 Aesthetics, and 1 Nail Technician are in the Spanish language. And then we have an additional 397 theory exams scheduled. That number fluctuates day to day, as a friendly reminder. But as of April 1st, that's where we were at. So our licensing team appears to be very busy coming up in May and June. For our licensing update, we received 307 new exam applications, of which 256 were approved in a one-day turnaround. For our establishment applications, we had 204 applications come in, of which 198 were approved within 5 days. And our reciprocity applications are at 140, and 76 of which were approved. Again, low percentage on reciprocity, just as a friendly reminder, typically because those applications come in incomplete due to waiting on other states to send us their licensure certifications. Next up is our ILAC extension registration for the month of March. We had 5 additional board approved training programs, bringing us to an even 200 board approved training programs in the state through March. We had 1 additional ILAC establishment, I should say, approved in the month of March, and bringing that total to 22. And we had 44 additional ILAC technician individuals register in the month of March, bringing that number up to 1,819. So I suspect we have seen this bubble off at this point through this first year. Most of this work launched the first week of May last year, so we will adjust the presentation once we get past that 1 year mark to be more in line with the prior slide, so that just everybody, so that we get on the same page there. But we wanted to specifically track it for the first year just to know what those numbers look like. For our customer care update for the month of March, I wish I had better news. Unfortunately, or fortunately, because we're here to support our licensees, we saw more than 1,000, an uptick of more than 1,000 number of calls handled. Tough language to say there. Last month, we were at 3,000, a little over 3,000 in February. Now in March, we're at 4,000. That average wait time remained relatively good considering the 1,000 call uptick at 12 minutes and 34 seconds on average. And our handle time has remained at level at 8 minutes and 22 seconds. But that combined number is at 21 minutes. And again, that long-term goal is to get that down to 10 minutes. Our email inbox also saw a significant uptick in the month of March at 1,254. And so that number did uptick to about 36-hour response time on that. We know why, because we launched the final individual license application types in the new licensing portal. So cosmetology, nail tech, and hairstyling all went live the last week of February, which people need help creating their accounts. People need help with some of the technical issues that occur in the data transition, some of those types of things. And watching the data this week, we're starting to see that kind of come. I think we've peaked and we're starting to be on the backhill side of that. We're doing a couple of things a little bit differently as a result of this. One of the things that we're doing is we're actually tracking daily numbers rather than weekly numbers. We were doing monthly, then we were doing weekly, and now we're doing daily numbers so that we know. We have a better understanding that as a staff, we are slammed on Mondays and Tuesdays. Makes sense for all the reasons we've talked about in the past. And then that number slowly falls off the rest of the week. So we're starting to track that so that we understand maybe we can adjust staffing to help with the higher call volumes on Mondays and Tuesdays, just really starting to look at that a little bit more. We did also this month, so in February, we brought on an additional contractor, bringing that team to a total of 5. And in the coming weeks, we're gonna bring on another additional contractor to get us through the graduation season, basically for the remainder of this fiscal year. So that'll bring that team to 6. In the hopes that, you know, we've seen the peak, we're kind of on the downhill side, we can work on bringing some numbers down. The third item that we're doing on this is just last Wednesday, under JW and Kelly's leadership, we have added into our call center system for our customer service reps to identify what the reason for the call was. It's called call disposition. So if Jessica takes this phone call as an example, and occasionally she does step in and support that team, at the conclusion of that call, she's gonna select from a list of 15, 16 items so that we can start better tracking what the calls are. We know anecdotally what calls are about. We want to know more objectively what those calls are about, so that we can start potentially taking steps to create more how-to videos, create more to-do lists, some more of those types of things to help folks in that application and renewal process, and maybe and hopefully make it easier so that if they're sitting at home at 9 o'clock and need to want to apply for their license, they can get it done with a video and or to-do list and some of those types of things. So I just wanted to share this morning the team is doing a fantastic job. They continue to take significant call volume. They do it mostly with a smile on their faces. I'm really just proud of the whole team, but particularly this last month of March, that the customer care team has really worked hard. And like I said, been doing it mostly with a smile on their faces. For our compliance update, I did want to, as usual, we wanted to share some updates here. We received 56 consumer complaints, of which 23% were within our jurisdiction and assigned to an investigator to be investigated. And on top of that, the team conducted 305 inspections and saw a 90% compliance rate. Did want to stop here. Again, we saw a pretty significant decline in December, January on the compliance rate. And now that we've come out of that, we're actually seeing a compliance rate increase. And I think that's because we have rounded out two solid years of very consistent inspection work. And I think the industry, the community, our licensees know that we're out. We're trying to partner with them. We're trying to educate. Of course, there is a compliance function to that. But our first and foremost is about educating and informing them and partnering with them to get compliant. And so we're really hoping, and I want to, my hope is that together with that team, we can capitalize and continue to see that increase for the betterment of the health and safety of the state of Arizona.
If I may, Deputy Director Guilford, and for the education of our students. I also am hoping that our self-inspection sheet that we posted on our website is helping as well, that we communicated out, and that's under our resources.
Great point. Finally, on this slide, we had 10 additional investigations that were conducted. So that was the consumer complaint that had come in probably in February. Those were investigated then in March. Don't quote me on those dates, but that's kind of how that works, just so everyone is aware. So the legislative update, was March. Actually, this is all the way up through this morning, just to be clear. This isn't necessarily just March. It has been a very interesting month on the legislative front. So I'll start with our original legislative request, as I have shared over the prior few months. The bill was introduced, but it was never assigned to committee. And then all of a sudden, at the end of March, it was scheduled for its first and second read. It had its second read on March 31st. And so we kind of were like, wait a minute, what's going on? This isn't within timeline. All of the timelines for introduction have passed and all of these things. So talked with a few folks that know a little more about the legislative process, and they said it was most likely just a procedural thing, because anything introduced has to have a first read by a certain date or by the end of legislative session, I suppose. So it was most likely just procedural. There is also a case where they could end up using the bill number to become a strike everything bill for something else coming up in the coming weeks, because they can't introduce new bills, but they can do the strike everything bill. So again, we got a little bit excited when we saw the movement, but I think we've peeled that back at this point, and we still don't expect that to go anywhere this year in this legislative session. There was also movement, not necessarily good movement, but not bad movement on Senate Bill 1117, which was our budgetary request. As a friendly reminder, last year the legislature appropriated us one-time money to hire staff. But when you hire staff, that's not one time, that's ongoing. So we worked with Senator Dunn, as we did on the legislative request, to get that to be permanent funding. He ushered that through the Senate, did very well all the way through the Senate. It got over to the House Appropriations Committee at the end of March, and there is what was called a hostile amendment. I happen to think hostile is a very strong word. I don't think it's necessarily a strong word in the sense of legislative movement, just for clarity, but that is the terminology that is used. There was a hostile amendment that took out all of our budget requests and has turned it into a new bill. So as I was talking about with 1118, it has become a striker for something else that I don't understand. It's not anything in our world. It had to do with political subdivisions and reporting and things that I don't do. And this organization doesn't do, so I've not paid close attention to it. Senator Dunn did call me that week, and he let me know that he's received assurance, and I've not since been able to confirm this, that JLDC, the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, has actually included that $300,000 that was one-time money. They've included it in the baseline budget for the legislature for their consideration. I have confirmed that it is in there. The governor's office supports that. So we still remain hopeful that and very optimistic that that will get across the finish line because it is in the baseline budget request. And because quite frankly, now that we've gotten fully staffed, that's going to turn into something very significant if we don't, for us as an organization, if we don't receive that funding or that funding to become ongoing, I should say. Finally, House Bill 2031, this was the bill that we had the special meeting on in February that repealed this board as well as a number of other boards. It did, there's actually really no update on this, but it's still an open bill at this point because on the House floor, February 26th, even though it got voted down pretty significantly, 17-42, in the last minute of that floor session, a member motioned to reconsider the bill. That bill has not been reconsidered at this point. Next week is the 100th day of session. I watch it every day. I check tracker every day. Nothing's happened. It's not hit any other calendars. But as I think I shared in my email, the bill's not really dead until session is over. And so we will continue to watch that and I will communicate with the board as soon as I see any movement, if I see any movement on that, and we will take it from there. Any questions for me on legislative update?
Fans here speaking. That's good. Hopefully to help with the calls, the time frame. A little faster. I was just wondering if we got any progress on the possibility of having a brick and mortar.
So, Mr. Chair, Member McFadden, at this point, we have not made any progress on having a person on any number of days or for any period of time. We're so inundated with call volume to take somebody away from that right now to do just that in person when we piloted it last summer and folks weren't coming, it puts us in a kind of a difficult spot to be pulling staffing away from that. I do intend to look at that if we start seeing that call volume come down and we've got that staff expanded, if we can then at that point pull somebody to be available. But no, there's not been any progress on that at this point.
Thank you.
Finally, our next six meetings, I did mark this in red so that you have it. Our next meeting, I should say, is May 16th at 9 a.m. right here in this room. The October meeting is the one that changed to October 24th, and we will be sending out the updated calendar invite for everybody, so that will hit everybody's calendar coming soon. I should have mentioned, and I failed to, obviously, as with the prior months, everybody has a copy of this presentation in front of them. I also included the updated org chart so that everybody could see the updated staffing org chart right in front of you. And with that, I will turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Appreciate all that information and glad to see we're continuing the progress on the operation and serving our constituents. All right, so we're up now to the complaint agenda. The consent.
Chair, yes. This is Goodman. I came on the call at 9:23.
That's actually, we've missed you.
Thank you, Nick.
We're happy you're here. The consent agenda items may be considered for approval as a single action unless a board member or other interested party wishes to remove an item for discussion. The board may vote to go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, include the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by state or federal law on all agenda items under step 1 and 2 pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Step 1A, recommend for dismissal. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1A recommend dismissal have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Wonderful. The board has this information and has had it to review already. Does the board have any questions about any of these cases or a motion regarding this group?
Good fun lover move that we accept staff recommendations under step 1A for recommended dismissal.
Katie, welcome to the second.
A motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, unanimously, we agree that we will accept staff recommendation.
No. Step 1B recommends the letter of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1 recommend letter of concern have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations to take up the non-disciplinary.
Okay. Does the board have any questions about any of the individual cases in step B? Hearing no response, is there any motion regarding the letters of concern?
Good fun lover move that we accept staff recommendation to recommend letter of concern for all cases under step 1B.
With that, in second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? All right, unanimously, we agree to accept staff recommendation. Thank you. Steve, please.
Step 1C recommend for informal interview with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1C recommend for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendation or take as a non-disciplinary action.
Again, does any board member have any question about any of the individual cases in this section? Hearing no response, do we have a motion regarding these cases?
Good fun lover move that we accept staff recommendation for informal interview with negotiation terms for all cases under step 1B.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, unanimously accept all staff recommendations for that group.
Mr. Chair, I do believe that brings up to number six, which is time limited at 9:45 a.m., which is about perfect. We have about a 10-minute recess.
Incredible, isn't it? So what he's talking about is that we have a time certain possible or potential in each of these type of cases to make sure everyone has an opportunity to be properly represented. In this particular case, this group is scheduled to start at 9:45, 9:35. So we have a 10-minute recess, so feel free to move about the cabinet.
All right, so those on by personally or by phone, can we confirm that we have Chase and Nick?
Goodman here, yes.
Thank you. We have you, Jake?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. We will begin in just a moment, guys. We have Chase and Nick both confirmed.
Yes. All right. A little better there. Okay, we're gonna come back into session now. It's 9:47, so we got a little 2-minute extra there for you. And we're gonna move into section six. Section six, I'll let you know that the board may go into executive session for the first obtaining legal advice from the board attorney on any of the agenda items under step three. Pursuant to ARS 38431.383. Our first item A is review, discussion, possible action on motions to deem and consider accepting a signed consent agreement on settling the matters pursuant to ARS 32573E. Our first case is case number 2023-98390. Christina Haru, license 10327481. Is the state represented?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Jean Delvin on behalf of.
Thank you. Is the licensee present? Star six if you're online. Okay. The state filed a motion deem allegations admitted, and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. The state's motion said that a complaint and notice of hearing were mailed to the licensee at their last known address. 30 days passed, and the licensee filed no answer. Does the state wish to make oral argument?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you stated what is in contained, written contained in the motion to deem. The respondents one served complaint notice of hearing. He failed to respond to the complaint. If the board in its file has evidence that the radio mail was not returned and the certified mail indicates that it was delivered at her address records, it was also emailed as courtesy and that was not returned to the board either. The state would request the soul that you adopt the motion to deem allegations admitted. The licensee is non-responsive to the court, and the state would support a motion to revoke.
Okay. Again, I offer the licensee an opportunity to respond. Star six if you're online. All right, moving on. Is there a motion granting the state motion deem allegations admitted?
Casey Wilkins, and I move to grant state motion to deem allegations admitted.
Dukenyak, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Let's do a roll call vote.
Casey Wilkins.
Aye.
Brandon McFadden.
Aye.
Dukenyak Glover.
Aye.
Shane Trinvin.
Aye.
Nick Goodness.
Aye.
Gary Bedwin.
Aye. All right, so unanimously agreed to accept the state's motion to rescind the license.
Thanks.
I see that our next case,
You just addressed one part of it, Seth Hargreaves, Assistant Attorney General. You just addressed the motion to deem, you still have to go through and address findings, conclusions, and the ultimate discipline.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. All right, so is there a motion regarding an order of discipline this matter, or do I need to go to the first section first? I assume probably do, never mind. Is there a motion to accept findings of fact, conclusions of law?
Tracy Wilkins, I make a motion to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Dukenyak Glover, second.
All right, motion is second. Roll call vote, please.
Tracy Wilkins, aye. Brandon McFadden.
Aye.
Dukenyak Glover.
Aye.
Shane Trinvin.
Aye.
Nick Goodman.
Aye.
And Gary Bedwin.
Aye. All right, this concludes this matter. Staff will prepare an order and mail it to the licensee and Assistant Attorney General.
You still have to take this over here.
I'm sorry?
You still have to take whatever appropriate discipline.
Well, I thought we did it on the first one.
So you just deem the allegations admitted.
All right, backing up. We got a new agenda here. Time to little. It seems like those are cocked around to me, but maybe they're not.
And all right. What?
Yeah, thank you, Dave. We'll go through this and we'll clean up and go. All right, so is there a motion regarding order of discipline this matter?
Dukenyak Glover move that we revoke the license.
McFadden, second.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second. Let's do a roll call vote again.
Tracy Wilkins.
Aye.
Brandon McFadden.
Aye.
Dukenyak Glover.
Aye.
Shane Trinvin.
Aye.
Nick Goodman.
Aye.
Gary Bedwin.
Aye. All right, so sure this time, we're done. This concludes this matter for the third time. Staff will prepare an order and mail it to the licensee and the Assistant Attorney General. All right, let's try this again. All right, our second case is case 2024-98464, which my notes say they had signed the consent agreement. So I assume we're not doing anything.
I don't know if the licensee is online. You're correct that after the motion to deem was received by the licensee, they reached out to staff and signed the consent agreement that had been previously offered and also paid the civil penalty. So in lieu of the motion being reviewed, you may express the commission's consideration and vacate the other three.
Right, that would be. All right, so can we do this just a simple motion without?
Yes. If the board is so inclined to accept this, the consent, you have a motion to accept the consent agreement to resolve the matter and vacate any.
Can I do that in one motion?
Sure.
All right, then I make a motion on case number 2024-98464 that we vacate the previous motion and accept the consent agreement based on the fact that it's been completed.
Kupcak, Glover, second.
Motion and second, apparently a roll call vote.
Tracy Wolfenden.
Aye.
Brandon McFadden.
Aye.
Kristen Guzman Glover.
Aye.
Shane Curran.
Aye.
Nick Goodman.
Aye.
Gary Bailey.
Aye.
All right, so again, this concludes this matter. Notes we sent to the parties involved and to the assistant attorney general. Our next case is case number 2024-98484. Shimon Maddox, 11000284. Is the state represented?
Yes, Jean Galvin, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the state.
Is the licensee present? Star six, if you're online.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I don't need to swear him in, right?
You do not.
Okay. All right, glad you're here. The state filed a motion deem allegations admitted and a copy was mailed to the licensee at their last known address on record with the board. The state's motion says that a complaint and notice of hearing were mailed to the licensee at their last known address. 30 days passed and the licensee filed no answer. The state wished to make oral argument.
Members of the board, Jean Galvin, and the chairman looked on detail, the respondent and hold license 11000284 for the practice of cosmetology in the state of Arizona. There was a complaint issued on October 9th, 2024, and they failed to respond. Evidence in the file shows that the complaint was sent first by regular mail. And they addressed the record and it would not return to the board. It presumed to have been delivered. There was also the complaint was sent by certified mail, certified address record. Evidence indicates that that was delivered and left with an individual at that address on October 11th. It also was sent via email of the courtesy and that did not come back to the board as undeliverable. Respondent had 35 days to respond. She did not. Therefore, the board filed the motion to these allegations, and we would request that you adopt a motion, adopt a motion to deem, and adopt the factual allegations and alleged violations.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Maddox, would you like to respond?
At the current time going through, when I received the complaint, I was going through my divorce. The mail was received by my ex-wife during that time, in which she refused to give me any of my mail. My emails were hacked, passwords were changed. I did contact the state board one time asking them to resend because they understood, spoke to Miss Barbara, I believe. They resent the mail. I did not receive it. My ex-wife was in contempt of court pretty much reporting all my information, my personal mail and so forth, in which I was not able to respond. However, I do not negate the issues that were sent when I did speak to the board when they came and did their inspections and so forth because of the payment that needed to be sent. But I did not get that information that was resent because of my ex-wife, who no longer now lives at my current address at the 802 South Fifth Avenue. Which is why I was able to respond and get to court because I was receiving my mail.
Okay. You have spoken to the staff, but you didn't resolve this?
I received, like I said, I received the paperwork, but I could not find it because my ex-wife was just being rude and being defiant.
Right.
I asked them to rescind it, which they did. I know that they did because she said that she was going to rescind it, and I did not get any of my information, and my ex-wife being cruel, which is none of your guys' personal issues or whatnot. Sure. But these are things that I have to deal with as far as the consequences go. Not negating anything. If there was a fine or fee, I was more than willing to pay. But she knows that this is the only thing that I do for my livelihood, taking care of our kids and so forth. So, and now here we are.
My question for you also on the idea, you're calling in today because you're aware of this hearing, right?
Yes, sir.
And yet you didn't resolve this. Can you explain why?
As I just explained, sir, I did not receive any of my mail.
Today. You're calling today. You know about it today. I'm asking you why you didn't resolve it today.
Because I don't have any of the information about what I need to do to take care of the matter because of previous situation.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
This is Roberta of these compliance administrator. I just wanted to let you know that we did send the information to the address that he gave it.
Yes.
The only contact that I recall was when he called the customer service at that time, Ms. Teresa Rogers received that, and she did send me the information by chat, which we did update the mailing address to the 802 that he's referring to, and everything was sent by email too.
Yep, no doubt.
Okay, well, as mentioned, my email, she had, because she had all my passwords and everything. So all my emails, passwords, everything was changed until we went to court to have her relinquish those passwords right then and there so that way I was able to update my information. And I had to change everything. So again, it's not that I wanted to negate my issues because I wanted to resolve the matter because clearly I called in because I needed that information because, again, this is my livelihood. It's my license at stake. I don't need those kind of issues. And again, I did not receive that information because she was intercepting everything.
Okay. All right. We're gonna move forward. In the next part, based on this, is there a motion regarding the state's motion to deem allegations admitted? I believe you have signed the consent agenda.
You speak up to the record.
She's questioning the same thing I was.
Yeah.
You know, if we're this far, then why are we even speaking of this? Why isn't it signed on a consent agenda? Yeah. Why isn't it cleaned up? And here we are. So we can't fix that. So in what's in front of us, it has not been signed, it's not been agreed to, there's been no steps done to solve this. And that's the point we've reached. So unfortunately, we have to deal with where we are.
So I guess the options are granting or denying the motion to deem. And then after that, if we deny it, can we offer the consent agreement again? Or do we just end up here in a month again?
So you have a motion in front of us. That's really the only thing on the agenda.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
So you're either going to fix grant the motion to deem or deny. And then depending upon what action you take regarding the motion is where you go next.
Yeah.
If you grant the motion and adopt the allegation as findings and conclusions, you could then issue an order for any of the disciplines set forth in 32.5.7.
Got it.
So it wouldn't be a consent agreement. You would issue an order and then you would be bound by that order.
Got it.
If you reject the motion, then you would have to decide where to go next.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So based on the first step, the state has presented a motion to deem allegations. Do we have a motion regarding that step?
Ms. Mungover moves that we grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted.
Do you want, as part of that, you could also include in there adopting these factual allegations and alleged violations as findings of fact and conclusions of law?
Sure. So I'll move that we grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted and adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law.
Yes.
Will you second?
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Aye.
Brandon McFadden.
Aye.
Spencer Duhamel Weber.
Aye.
James Turrentine.
Aye.
Nick Goodman.
Aye.
Garrett Begley.
Aye. All right, so we've made it through those two steps. Now in the third, in the last step. Is there a motion regarding an order of discipline this matter?
Do we have access to the original agreement?
What is the state requested order of discipline?
I believe that the board discretion, given that he have now appears.
Okay.
I move that we impose the following discipline in the matter of $500 fines for the unlicensed establishment plus any fees occurred by incurred by the board to be paid within 30 days.
And by alternative.
And by alternative revocation of license if taken care of.
Do we know what these current fees are or if there are any?
That's a fee from the board parameters.
I think in the history reminds, if I remember correctly, the $500 includes board fees, but in the past, there has been legal fees included. And I think that has, I don't remember what that determination on legal fees has been on the most.
Typically, not in.
Okay.
All right. So our motion is for the $500 fine plus legal fees that are involved and 30 days to pay that. And if that doesn't happen, then revocation of the license.
Well, actually, the order would be for the fine. If he doesn't pay it, then there would be a violation of the board order.
And then we would do the
procedure.
So that is my motion in this matter.
All right, is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
So maybe we should recap that motion before we second that.
I move that we impose the following discipline in as our order in this matter. A $500 fine for the unlicensed establishment to be paid within 30 days. Since that already included the board fee, is what brings up. But she said we don't normally include legal fees.
Correct.
So do you want those fees to be added on to the $500?
Sorry, I thought you said we don't normally include legal fees.
I would recommend, they recommend that you don't.
Okay, so it's a $500 fee again for the unlicensed establishment to be paid within 30 days is my final motion.
You don't want to.
Member Turrentine, second.
Oh, she said not to.
Oh, my.
Chase just seconded.
Okay.
Krista's motion.
So we have a motion and second. We're going to roll call, please.
May have one point of clarification. Rosa, have you received an application for the establishment license?
Not that I'm aware.
Is it his establishment? Are we allowed to have that?
It looks like the inspection was conducted at Taniki, and I believe he was performing services there.
Right.
And it was an unlicensed establishment.
But is it like a salon where he should have the or is it someone else that is established?
He never submitted an. It was his, and he never submitted an application to get a establishment license for that.
All right. Are we okay with the motion? Still, you fine?
I mean, can we order him to get an establishment license? Is that legal?
Board orders, I understand it. If he violates the board order by not being done in 30 days, we just take his license. Yeah.
But it sounds like he doesn't have a license. Correct. So if he's continuing to work, then there would be a new complaint can be opened and looked into.
I don't know what the answer is. I thought I was right, and then I am confused.
Well, the big problem is she's working with that establishment.
I understand that. I don't know how to fix that with this motion.
I agree. My thought, and we're in discussion, even though it was a motion and a second, can we still discuss?
Yeah.
So my thought on this is that He's at a stage where if this isn't cleaned up now, then he's just done. So if we give him a limited time, 30 days or whatever it is, to clean this up, if we find he's not done, then we just revoke connect it and nothing comes back.
But we can't.
But you could do a state revocation. The requirement that if it's not obtained within that time frame and he doesn't register within that time frame, then revoked. So I think at this point, if you're going to change, we need to rescind the prior motion.
I would love to rescind my motion, and then I would love to not make the next motion. So I will rescind my motion to, with the order of discipline for the $500 unlicensed establishment.
Can we accept that?
Would you get the second order rescind?
Chase, do you rescind too?
I rescind.
Thank you.
So it sounds like we're looking at revoke the license, stay it, putting it on probation for a period of 30 days during which they're required to pay a $500 civil penalty, and if it's not paid within that timeframe, the revocation stay is lifted and the license is revoked.
Right, let me ask one question. Is this all about the establishment license or is it personal license also?
The cases against the his personal license, because he was operating and performing services in an unlicensed establishment.
Unlicensed establishment, was he licensed?
But he's like.
Okay, we're just pulling the establishment that goes out.
Deputy Director Shepherd, his license has been expired since 2022. Personal license has been expired since 2022.
All right.
If I may, Deputy Chief Albon, state a claim to the timeline that is in the file. This matter happened to discuss on March 14th, 2024, and there's a request to continue at that time. So he and but he continued to grant that his request.
Okay.
So he won't present at one point.
All right.
And apparently getting notice of meeting and.
So his license is already not active right now. So he can't legally work right now. And the facility is not active right now, so he can't legally work there right now either. So if we were to revoke his license is already not active to be revoked.
And it would be the state position that because of a pending complaint, his license would be suspended as a matter of law, and it doesn't become inactive.
Oh, it's suspended. Okay.
Tell him to come back in a month and have a seat.
He's going to work for a month, so that license can be to do it for 2-3 years. All right, well. We're not anxious to cause people not to go make a living. However, we're also not anxious to have people work without a license in violation of law. So we're not in a position where we're trying to punish somebody, but we're not also in a position of wanting to enable people to violate the law willfully and knowingly, especially over a 3-year period.
Well, how fast can you?
Mr. Maddox?
Yes.
Mr. Maddox?
Yeah, no, you're here.
And our situation is that whichever way we go, we're enabling you to violate the law, and that's against what we do.
If I may, sorry to interject, but what I do is natural hair. So I do braids and weave. The issue was at that time, I had somebody in the salon suite who is licensed.
Mr. Maddox, did you now hear me? We're muted.
So it wasn't just people lost audio?
Yeah, no, there's an issue with everybody being muted.
Okay.
And us being muted by someone else.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Maddox, are you still there? Mr. Maddox, are you still on the line? Stars tip to unmute if you're muted. So, is he gone?
We don't see him.
We don't see him?
Can't help but respond to her.
All right, we need to get through it.
Stars tip to unmute. Mr. Maddox, you might have been muted.
Hello?
Is this Mr. Maddox?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Sorry for the IT issue, but yeah, we all disappeared for just a little bit. All right. So let me explain to you that, you know, we have a real problem that we're trying to work our way through. And I think you just told me that even though you're a cosmetologist, you're not currently practicing cosmetology.
That's correct. But the issue is because I am still responsible for allowing somebody else from to go in there, and they were doing color, I believe, at that time, and I was doing natural hair, and that's what was explained to me, that I still had to have the licensing if I had a licensed stylist in there. And I said, okay, I understand. So whatever I needed to do, whatever fine I needed to pay, please let me know. And she said it would be mailed to me. So I'm not objectifying to any of that stuff. I need to take care of what I need to take care of because it was my responsibility, and it just needs to be resolved. So okay. It's not enabled. I just want to take proper steps.
Speaking of that, sir, how long will it take you to get this resolved if we were able to give you the time to resolve it?
For the $500? I mean,
I don't care about $500. Your license, your facility, and your personal license. How long would it take you to clean that up?
To get I forget how much it is to reinstate the license.
I have no idea.
You know what? Give me about 30 days.